Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another edition of Life Behind Bars. I'm Noah Rothman, the Daily Beast F full editor. Joining me, as always, is my colleague and co-host, David Wondrich.
Hey, Noah.
What would you like to chat about today, Dave?
Well, let's talk about guilty pleasures.
Guilty pleasures.
Yeah, we all have them. I'm not really particularly guilty about mine because I know we all have them and it's not a problem. But nonetheless, I'm prepared to be embarrassed.
I think the first step is admitting that we all have guilty pleasures, and now that it's out there. And
we're just talking about drinks here, by
just
the way.
Just drinks. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
No special equipment needed. No mail order and plain packages. No. Nothing like that.
Well, and I think in some ways with guilty pleasures that it really depends upon also how they're made, right? Even though they're like theoretically, you know, for whatever reason, maybe it's the context that they were made, the name, there's a funky ingredient. I mean, I think all of these things can qualify a drink as a guilty pleasure, right? I mean,
absolutely. Also, the other thing is environment. Where are you? Who are you with?
Right.
You know, it's the
context that comes along.
Some drinks I would never drink if I went into a fine cocktail bar with you know, my fancy friends. I think I have maybe three.
Right.
But
not me.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you about that life sometime. You know, if I'm in a dive bar in Kankakee and they're all drinking Long Island iced teas, I'm going to put my hand up and say, yes, please.
Right. Of course. It's funny. I think in the last few years, as even some of the fancier bars have gone kind of down into things like guilty pleasures, where mm-hmm. we're seeing, you know, frozen cocktail machines enter places like Mother's Ruin, right? And you're getting, you know, a frozen cocktail doesn't get a lot of respect. You know, it's kind of the Rodney Dangerfield of the cocktail world, but it's delicious nonetheless, right?
And it can be.
Right. That's especially sure. A hot day.
Yeah.
You go, you know, Mother's Ruin in New York, obviously down in New Orleans. One of our favorite spots to go during Tales of the Cocktail is the Aaron Rose, which looks just kind of like any other Irish bar blasting good old American heavy metal. You know,
it's a rock and roll bar for sure.
I mean, the walls are covered with old T-shirts and stickers. And what do you drink? I mean, yes, you could get, you know, a shot of bourbon, but everybody's drinking their frozen Irish coffee, which
I mean, if that isn't a guilty pleasure, I don't know what is.
And you can get it with a shot on top, you know, of different things. And I heard people talking about it. My first instinct, of course, was like, I'll have something else, right?
Yeah.
But it's 95 degrees, 95% humidity. You know, you're sweating as soon as you get out of the shower in New Orleans in the summer. That's the perfect drink. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I usually stay away from caffeine drinks in the afternoon because... Over the years, I've gotten more and more sensitive to caffeine.
Sure.
But in New Orleans at noon, a frozen Irish coffee is a lovely thing.
Yeah,
you know,
and I think it's one of these things where you can really elevate, you know, a guilty pleasure like that into where it is something that's delicious.
I mean, it's not the most sophisticated of drinks.
It's basically
like Bailey's in a blender is what it tastes like.
But at least it's, you know, it's real Bailey's, good ice, and then like a float of, you know, something. I think Mother's Ruin, you know, in New York, which again, I mean, it looks, you know, kind of what neighborhood? It's sort of Nolita, Soho, I guess, kind of, you know.
Yeah, right? it's
east of, you know,
Broadway. East Soho. I mean, it's not the fancy part.
Right. And you know, you go in and, you know, they have frozen cocktail machines. You didn't really expect much out of them. But some of them are really delicious and some of them are twists on classic cocktails. And instead of having them neat or on the rocks, you know, you have the frozen variation, which is pretty good.
That place is kind of funny because I was doing an event there once funny for me anyway. And I had to go down in the basement to prepare some drinks. And I'm looking around at the decor in the basement there, which is their service area. And I notice all these band flyers from the 80s. And I remembered that place because it used to be a recording studio where I did demos in about 1984.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, New York has a lot of history, but so that kind of helps my guilty pleasures there because I remember what I was drinking in 1984 and it was mostly not good.
Right.
So.
I mean, I think it's some of the other ones, you know, I always would talk about guilty pleasures. You go to kind of, you know, frozen drinks, things like White Russians.
Oh,
know,
yeah.
Talk about 80s drinks. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I'm not going to normally drink those, but.
Right.
You know, if people are drinking them and that's if it's like some kind of Midwestern like supper club or something,
right.
I'm happy to have it.
Bowling alley.
Yeah, know, exactly.
Kind of a nod to the Big Lebowski, obviously. You know, you have to have one when you're duded out
mm-hmm.
bowling with friends. The White Russian feels sort of perfect.
Well, I think I've always used, and I think it's a good rule for drinking, is drink the wine of the country,
right.
even if that wine is White Russians.
Even if it turns out the country's a bowling alley.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. You know, what are people drinking here?
Right.
At least try it. You know, it's like, I always worry when people go in to any situation whatsoever, and they always drink the same drink.
Yeah.
You know, that shows a lack of flexibility, unless, of course, that same drink is always champagne, in which case
right.
you have my
Fair
respect.
Enough.
But anything else. Mm.
And I think it's one of these things, you know, it's a philosophy that they think is, you know, surefire, but it
right.
really backfires because you go into the wrong bar and you ask for your standard thing and they might make some other drink, you know, might be amazing.
Right.
But that drink they're not going to make well. You
right.
know, it's, you know, you go into French restaurant and you ask for, you know, Cajun chicken, it's not going to end well. I mean, it's just,
and they're going to look at you funny.
Right,
also.
Exactly. I mean, it's, you know,
yeah.
they'll do it maybe,
yeah.
but it's not,
yeah.
you know, it's those types of things where I think being flexible and embracing the guilty pleasure and some places really take sort of the fine art of guilty pleasures to a new level, right? I mean, it's.
Well, New Orleans, as we mentioned,
yeah.
one of my favorite bars there, Toujag's, an ancient stand-up bar. They claim to have invented the grasshopper. I don't think they did, but but they certainly perfected it. And
right.
the way Paul Gustings, the bartender, makes it there is it's equal parts cream, creme de cacao, and creme de menthe, like a regular grasshopper, but also an equal part of cognac.
Wow.
And he shakes it up.
That's interesting.
And you sit there. It's a stand-up bar, no stools, and you lean on the bar, and everybody's drinking Sazeracs, and you've got this nice green grasshopper
right.
in front of you. And the next round, you'll see about five or six
right.
grasshoppers
yeah, sure.
in the bar.
Once people realize.
Once people realize. It, and, you know, it's delicious.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drink three of them, but I'll definitely have one.
Toujag's is funny because it kind of looks like one of those, you know, those stereo optic cards that you find, you know. You know, in an antique store
yeah,
with like
yeah,
two
nothing
photos.
Nothing has changed.
No, it looks like an old Western bar, right? Huge bar. You know, maybe it's a Brunswick bar, you know.
Oh, I think
Curtis.
It's even older than that.
Older, you know,
yeah,
one of these.
From the 1850s.
You know, enormous bars,
mm-hmm.
you know, with big mirror. And Paul dresses like he's out of, you know, Westworld or something with a,
yeah.
you know, vest coat. And he's a big white beard and a shaved head. And he looks like the last kind of bartender you'd want to ask for a grasshopper. Like
exactly.
I don't, you know, like he's the type of guy where, you know, you'd expect him to kick you out of the bar, like just run you out with like a baseball bat if you ask for creme de menthe. But meanwhile, like, he's totally happy to make it.
Oh, that's the way to get points with him is
right.
asking for his grasshopper.
Right. I mean, it's,
you know.
Well, does he make a Pussy Cafe too? Is
that I don't know. I haven't asked for one of those. That's a guilty pleasure that's maybe a little too guilty
yeah.
even for me.
I remember the first time somebody asked me about it. My first book had come out fall of 2007, and I was on AM radio, WOR, with, what was the guy's name, Joey Lawrence, I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was on all night, and it was me and, like, him and this comedian. When we were on air, they were, like, crazy, you know, like, flying,
yeah.
weird jokes, you know. I could barely keep up, follow a conversation. I mean, it is, like, literally 4:30 a.m. We'd break for a commercial, and it was, like, night and day. Was suddenly this very like intellectual conversation about cocktails and spirits, and you know, Joe's like, "Well, I don't drink anymore, but when I did, my drink was a Pousse Cafe." And I had no idea. I mean, it was like, yeah, we've gone into like the Twilight Zone because like whoever
who
talks
drinks
to
those,
right?
I mean, and it's layers of liqueur,
right?
And you have to know the specific gravity of each liqueur so you can get the layers right, because the heavier ones need to go in the bottom,
exactly.
And then you kind of build them up.
And it's kind of like served in almost like a footed shot glass.
Yeah,
maybe.
Exactly.
And it's like a
It's a little thing. You're supposed to sip one layer at a time. Now, the great asshole move with that, if I may,
yeah,
is I've seen people do this: is order it and then take a toothpick and stir it up before they drink it.
Ooh, like a liquor rainbow. It's an art. It's more about aesthetics almost than how it tastes, I'd say.
I haven't made them in a long time. The last time I did, I think, at
I was
the
at your house,
and
I demanded one.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, Dave,
I made you one with 12 layers.
I don't care about your punch. You know, you wrote the book, but whatever. I want a Pousse Cafe with 45 layers.
Every liquor in the house. Right. Yeah.
To be honest, I kind of think the Pousse Cafe is prime for a comeback.
Yeah, like, I made them once for at the aforementioned Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans for a seminar. I had Chad Solomon, the demon bartender from Texas, to help, and we made them for 120 people, which was absolutely insane.
How long did that take?
We had it all figured out how to do it, so it didn't take that long.
But even still, I mean, it's like you'd almost need like a squirt gun filled with each liqueur. Like,
I think that we practically did something like that. I can't remember the logistics. It was a while ago. But it can be done.
Yeah.
But
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think we cheated also. We thinned something with vodka so we knew it would float.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think that's all fair.
All fair. If in the world of the Pousse Cafe, anything is fair if you can get it. But that would be an awesome thing for a modern craft cocktail bar to do as a guilty pleasure for everybody.
Well,
you know?
You could use chartreuse. You could use, some of these like bartender favorites.
There's so many.
You know, whether it's, Morrow's or,
Mezcal.
You could make
top
like,
layer of mezcal.
I'm just gonna say, I feel like somebody's gonna hear this, and next year we're gonna see like a bartender's Pousse Cafe. It'll be all of the bartender's favorites layered in a shot glass.
Malort.
That would be the final layer. It's like the final round. It's the hardest round to get through.
Yeah, you got to sip. You sip through that, and then underneath it's just like pure maple syrup or something.
Hopefully.
Yeah, anyway, that's a crazy one. But
well, speaking about bartenders and shots, I think the Boilermaker has almost gone from guilty pleasure now to respected mainstream, order.
Yeah, I think it's one of the foundations of drinking, personally.
As do
I. I would never feel guilty about ordering, a shot and a beer.
But even in places where, like, years ago or with people years ago who might not have done a shot and a
beer.
That's
true.
Obviously there's a whole bar called Boilermaker in New York, which is a fine bar and run by, very good bartenders. You could roll in and kind of as a bartender's handshake in any craft cocktail bar, be like, dealer's choice, Boilermaker of your pick, and that's.
Well, see, this brings up another issue with guilty pleasures is modern bartenders have a way of taking these formerly scorned, somewhat guilty pleasure type drinks and elevating them.
Everybody loves a comeback.
Yeah, so that suddenly they're made with fine ingredients,
right.
And then your Long Island iced tea is being made with like premium tequila and rare glacier vodka and blah blah blah, and instead of sour mix it's got like
the dregs,
like Meyer lemon juice or something.
I always assumed it was just the dregs from the mat, like in the
yeah,
in the bar top, and this way,
that's the traditional
way. It would be the dregs of craft cocktails. So
exactly,
there might be some other fine ingredients.
All the white spirits in the well was the original, you know.
Right.
So now
just
it's
poured
like,
right in.
Yeah. No tequila, mezcal, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And I've seen those. And, you know, that kind of takes the fun out of it because suddenly it's not as much of a guilty pleasure. Everything, the flavor is all amped up and you're kind of like, I can taste this. I'm not supposed to taste
it. I think you're being polite. I mean, to be honest, I've had some of those where they're just not good.
No.
Like even, you know, I wouldn't call it Dark and Stormy guilty pleasure. It is an old favorite of mine.
Yeah, that's a normal drink. That's a normal person drink.
Exactly. But even that, I've gone to bars where you're like, I'll have a Dark and Stormy. Like, well, we have our own version. You're like, oh,
please don't have your own version.
What? And then what do you say? You know, you're kind of like, well, we make it this way. Like, okay.
Yeah, we make our own ginger beer. No, it's not fizzy. Oh, yes, it's got eight parts ginger to one part water.
Right.
And it will knock the top of your head off.
It's a little thick.
Yeah.
A little thick.
Yep.
Comes with a fire extinguisher on the side.
We use blackstrap rum that tastes like molasses.
It's a weird thing. I mean, sometimes elevating drink definitely works, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the, you know, what we've seen with some of the, you know, getting back to the original tiki drinks or like refining some of the tiki, you know, the banana daiquiris, you know, those types of things and making, you know, better versions of those have yielded good results.
Well, I mean, if you have an original drink that was good and made with real ingredients that fell on hard times in the 60s,
maybe
70s, 80s, you know, and the flavorful rums got replaced with sugarcane vodkas and, you know, things like that. Yeah, in that case,
you can go back.
But some of the drinks that were invented with the crap ingredients kind of need to stay with the crap ingredients, I think.
A fuzzy navel is always going to be a fuzzy navel.
Yeah. And you don't want to use like artisanal peach brandy in that thing because you're going to drown it in orange juice. Like, what's the point?
Well, I mean, I think it's Dale DeGroff who's, you know, sort of our mentor, friend, you know, sort of the father of the rebirth of the cocktail. I'm about 90% sure, but I feel like he likes Rose's lime juice, right? Like in some of the, in like a gimlet.
Yeah,
like
I do too. That's a gimlet.
That is, and you know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, like, no, gimlet, like fresh, you know, we have fresh lime juice, you know, use it now. You know, some drinks, it's a whole other drink if you replace a key element. Instead of Rose's lime juice, just lime juice with fresh lime juice, it's going to change the taste.
It is. I mean, originally it was made with preserved lime juice because it was made... you know, it was a Royal Navy drink, and they were at sea.
Right.
They didn't have fresh limes.
Right.
Where are you going to get fresh limes in the North Atlantic? You know? I mean, you could stop at Iceland. They don't have fresh limes.
Well, for you, what your gimlet is what? It's Rose's lime.
It's Rose's. It's probably, I do like three parts gin to one part Rose's. I also top it off with soda water in the cocktail glass, which is the original version and cuts the sweetness.
It's also refreshing, too.
Yeah, and it really helps to add the soda water.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have to, you know, a lot of people, because Rose's is very sweet, they cut it down and keep cutting it down until it's barely there. You need some lime juice in there, but originally soda water on top. And so
like
you
that.
Use a big cocktail glass or a wine glass even, you know, something like that, a flute. That works a lot better. I found that was the saving thing for the gimlet it's delicious that way.
Well, for you, is there one drink, like if nobody's around, you're like, you know, you take the PATH train to somewhere in New Jersey that you don't even know the name of the bar, nobody knows you as the dean of cocktails, you're just some guy, you tell them to call you Joe, like, is there a guilty pleasure that you're ordering that nobody knows about?
I went to high school on Long Island in the 1970s.
Okay.
I went to the Oak Beach Inn. And so it would probably have to be the Long Island iced tea because I was drinking those in high school. So they were the popular Long Island club drink, you know. You'd go to hear the cover bands doing like songs by The Who.
Right. They couldn't do quite the full windmill on the guitar, like a half windmill.
Yeah, half windmill, you know, and then they'd move on to like ZZ Top and all that 70s rock, and there'd be like really bad rock dancing, and then you'd drink Long Island iced tea. So there's a certain soft spot
for
that one.
Yeah, I for myself, you know, I came of age a little bit later, you know, people were drinking Zima. I have no affinity for that. I don't even know what to call Zima. I mean, it's that clear, weird, almost gravy consistency, you know, beer that was, you know, the bottle was
denatured
cool.
Denatured beer, yeah.
Yeah, the bottle was cool. I don't know what it was in the bottle, but it tasted really weird, like kind of like miso soup or something.
It was a little brothy.
So yeah, I'm not, they keep trying to bring it back. And I think it may actually be available in like one country. I forgot what country it is around the world.
Uzbekistan.
Something like that, where it's dumped, all of it was dumped there. But I don't know. I mean, for me, people always make fun of me, but I think, you know, like a little pony bottle of Miller High Life, you know,
that's
nothing
to make fun about.
No, but it's people always, you know, think that I'm going to get some kind of like, you know, triple IPA, you know, devil hopped, you know, orange slice, you know, neutron beer. And it's no, thank you. Just a small, one of those tiny bottles of Miller High Life.
Maybe a little shot of Jim Beam.
Right.
On the side.
That makes me super happy. Yeah, if I see it, I'm going to totally have it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I don't know. I refuse to be embarrassed by that.
That's, normal. Real people drinking.
True. You know, I've never really grew an affinity for like the cream liqueurs or.
Not so much.
I mean, they have a time and a place, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of glad that we have moved past that chapter of drinking.
Yeah, I mean, my guilty pleasures do not extend to an Irish car bomb, for instance.
Right, no.
Or a cement mixer or an Adios MF. Those are a little far for me.
So next time you see us in a bar, don't send any of those this way.
Of Jello shots.
and that's another one. Like every few years, somebody's like, we made artisanal Jello shots with Pappy Van Winkle. And you're like, why?
Why?
I think the bar that did that literally got their allocation of Pappy. Like they were like, fine, like you're off the list, buddy.
Yeah.
Like,
done. Like, that's what not you're
funny.
Do with it.
Not funny. Done. Yeah. Jello's not a great modifier for cocktails.
Not so much.
Even Edmund Friedman was trying all of those crazy molecular drinks back in the day when he was a sort of mad scientist. And mm-hmm. it was one of his stops at Taylor, which was a bar in New York. He was sort of all this molecular stuff. And I remember he made a martini in a spoon. It was like he made a cream of the vermouth. He used the gin to make like a Jello shot. And then like he used olive brine for like a little spherification, as they used to call it, like a little ball. And it was like one of those things where you have one and you're like, you're a genius. Now make me a real martini.
Now make me a real.
Yeah. At least he could.
Yeah, exactly.
At least he could. I'd like to say I'll buy you a round of guilty pleasures, but hopefully we'll find something better to drink.
Well, it depends on where we are now, doesn't it?
Fair enough. We'll head up to the Port Authority.
Yeah.
We'll go to a bar. Yeah. While,
Long Island iced teas all around.
We'll both have Long Island iced teas with a Miller High Life back.
So there you go.
Cheers to next time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.